Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Today I'm doing my show from a place called Human Services Campus in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm sitting in front of the Lodestar Day Resource Center. What is synergy and why am I doing this here today? Because if you were to look in a dictionary, synergy would say it's the combined forces, energy coming together that create a significantly more powerful effect than each of those sources independently. What does that mean? It means when we come together, we're more powerful. We create something exponentially greater than what we have alone. Well, a sum is greater than the total of its parts. The total is greater than the sum of its parts. Yeah, as humans, as people, we have the ability to do great things. But you know what? The reverse of that, the opposite of that, is divide and conquer. I'm staying right now just around people who are divided by the people who run places like the Lodestar Day Resource Center, CAS, HSC. I have residents here who are ready to talk on the air to the world live about what has happened to them. Because when we talk about what we could create when we come together, it's just as important to remember what we destroy when we tear each other apart, not just down, but apart. If we unite, if we come together and support each other and create the good, powerful, positive energy, what could we do? Yeah, I had a little bit of an issue with CAS and HSC and Hallie. Those are the three main charities, right? Because they're not actual businesses. They are charities in the greater Phoenix area for homeless people, for sick people, for unemployed people. They genuinely need help and support from their local community. And you know what happens when they come in here? They're torn apart. They're torn down because the employees are the ones who really undermine their success and their happiness and their mental and emotional and physical health. Now, what I was told when I went to a legal professional, right? Some counseling, legal counseling, they said, you have pictures, you have recordings, you have videos, you have grievances, actual documents, legal documents. But you know what? You're only one person. You can't really do anything until you find 19 other people who'll say the same thing that you say, because yeah, it's just your word against theirs. Well, there's about 30 people who work here who say, you're just delusional and you're lying. Okay, so I met some really great people here, and a lady that I want to interview today, she said some pretty horrifying things not only happened to her, but her daughter and her granddaughter. So I really respect and appreciate the help that she's giving me, but even more, she's helping everybody else who lives here. So let me go ahead and start now. Let me see. She is okay being on. Can't really switch this. Okay, so we're just going to sit next to each other. Okay, so go ahead and tell me your name.
My name is Marilee Parker.
Okay, and Marilee, why are you sitting next to me, but your daughter and granddaughter are on the other side of the fence? What are they doing?
Because they're not allowed to be on campus.
Why not?
Can't bring a stroller on, can't bring a baby on.
I'm sorry, you can't bring a stroller to a homeless shelter. What?
Right.
Okay. So did they give you some suggestions of other places that you could go, that she could go, because you're here, that she could go?
Well, actually, they had both sent us to UMOM.
Oh, God.
Okay. To UMOM, which is a family shelter. And they said because we couldn't get jobs, which I'm 63 and disabled, my daughter has a brain injury and cannot work, that we got kicked out. And they notified us when I was in the hospital 2 days ago. And they were there visiting me. They called the hospital and said we were not allowed back.
Okay, you're
my 10-month-old grandkid.
What?
Cannot be brought back. It does not have a roof over her head.
Okay. So then again, as a charity community resource, did they at least give you a suggestion of where you could go, where she could go?
Yeah, they said to call the police.
Okay. I think the police are very busy doing a lot of interesting things, but they don't really have time for the homeless community simply because there are way too many of them to personally address and resolve? Where are they supposed to send the homeless people when they aren't, there's no room in these places and half of them don't qualify for the help that they need? What?
Right. It's crazy.
Okay. So what have you personally experienced?
Well, I mean, just the heartache of my grandchild. I mean, if I have to sleep on the street, I'll sleep on the street, but I cannot have my grandbaby sleeping on the street. Absolutely not. I mean, I feel like a failure as it is, but I paid my taxes the whole time I was working my whole freaking life. And I can't help it that the economy's changed, the demographics has changed and everything. I tried, but I feel like such a failure on that behalf.
Okay, so what I have dealt with, because I stayed at CAS, I stayed at Human Resources HSC, Human Services uh-huh. Campus, and I stayed at Hallie, which was just for the single women. You, Mom, is a division of Hallie. It's the same company, mm-hmm. but I don't have young children. I just wanted to go there and see really what the system is like and what these charities will do for you. Now, if you're talking about what happened to your daughter and your granddaughter, and there really is no other place to go, did you fill out? Now, what I have done is a grievance against all three of those places, Hallie and HSC and CAS, have what they file as a grievance. Have you filed a grievance against them?
I've filed many grievances.
How many? Okay.
20.
Okay. So now let's get something else on the record, that when you file a grievance, you don't really know where they go. I filed, I think, a total of 46 grievances. And every time I would turn one in, I would say, okay, where does this go? Who gets to see it? Did they tell you who is going to get to see this?
Actually, here at the HSC, yes, they did. And ironically, the person that I was filing the grievance against was the one who was kind of reviewing the grievance.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Okay.
Yeah.
So the person that you're filing the grievance against is going to be the one deciding how the grievance should be addressed and resolved.
Correct.
Is that
crazy?
Right?
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay. So now this is really important to me. I am a very passionate about things making sense and having a sort of a recourse, right, for people who are treated in a certain way. They need to have some sort of option, right? An opportunity to say, wait a minute, this isn't right. You have not done your job. Let me ask you, I'm sorry, what was your name?
Marilee.
Marilee. Okay. Let me ask Marilee. Did you look over the terms and conditions of the contract that you signed to get in?
Yes.
Okay. Where does it say that you can go if you file a grievance and it wasn't dealt with the way you like? What's the next step? Do you know?
No.
Okay. Is that because you didn't read the contract, or is it because there is nothing?
There's nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I've decided to do is have a group of people get their stories, right? Basically saying, you know what, this is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. Well, this was a little different for me. But I think that if we get enough people saying enough, similarly enough, the same kind of complaints to say, look, this is a genuine issue that needs to be resolved, but we have nowhere to go if it's not addressed. It's actually ignored. So what I would like to do, Marilee, is talk to your daughter about what happened, mm-hmm. and maybe even have a look, see what's going on with your granddaughter. They're on the other side of this fence. Would you mind if we leave the campus just for a minute to talk to them?
Yes,
directly. You're fine with that? Okay. So I'm going to get my stuff together. We're going to walk. We're going to keep this show going. And anyone, believe me, as I get from here to the entrance, there are a lot of people who really like what I'm doing here. They may interrupt us, but the show's an hour, so we'll have some time to talk to whoever wants to, okay? Let me get my stuff. We'll go right now. Okay. Let me see. I've got my purse and my bag. And this. Oh, and I think I've got another lady who actually wants to, no? Okay, I guess not. She just wants to hug Marilee, and so she's giving her some affection and support because she's very empathetic and she cares about Marilee's pain. So I'm going to go ahead and let them just have a few moments. And then here's another really sweet lady. I actually interviewed her, and she doesn't want to be on video right now, but yes, she's a very sweet lady too. So we're heading out now. It's just on the other side of the courtyard here. We're passing by the Lodestar Day Resource Center and the security guards who are all shooting the breeze outside of the front of the building, and they're not securing anything. Okay, I'm not going to put them on film because I really do want to get this nice lady who's in a chair, a wheelchair, is going faster than I can walk. Just slow down just a little bit.
Nope.
That's okay. Okay. Heading out. And here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is sunny, but I'm wearing a very thick wool coat because in Phoenix, in the middle of December, sunny is still 40 degrees. So, and I really do love that. Unlike Seattle, where I come from, you know what? It's still overcast and rainy, and at least in the winter in Phoenix, it's really beautiful and bright and sunny. So I don't mind wearing a thick coat as long as I get the vitamin D and very energizing warmth. We won't call it heat. Okay, so we're passing by the CAS building. It's on my left, and then we have the Diane and Bruce Halley Brighterway Dental Center. And then we're coming up to the Brian Garcia Welcome Center that is the entrance to actually two different establishments. And I didn't know this until I was here for quite some time, that my case manager was an employee of CAS, but the home, service that I was offered, which was a temporary housing service and transitional housing in a hotel, they were actually two different institutions. And so when I had my CAS caseworker say, I'm going to go ahead and help you get a job, my Halley, or at one point was HSC, policies and procedures said, you know what, the job that you just got disqualified you from getting help from us. And I said, wait a minute. In order to comply with one of these institutions, I was violating the policies and procedures of another one. Do you want to come out with us? Okay, cool. And I have another friend here, advocate, who's going to be part of the program, who is now following me. And Marilee is going a little bit too fast. Okay, we're following the lady in the wheelchair. So come with me down here. Okay. Here we go. All right, I'm here. Where is she?
I'm still over by the Andre House.
Okay, so the Andre House. That's another institution primarily for men. But in Phoenix, in the downtown area, this is a very wide open space with several different kinds of businesses, but mainly homeless people. And so when we have different kinds of situations, some people just don't have a job. Some people need home. They need community resources. Some people genuinely need medical help or psychiatric help. But the people who run these places, the two different institutions, they don't ever get together and say, okay, so these are the services that we have to offer. Those are the services that you have to offer. Let's work together and communicate. Interesting concept. We've got some good synergy, potential synergy going here. They don't like to talk to each other. And that's another thing that I noticed too, when it comes to the security guards, they don't like to talk to the employees on the inside. Okay, so when we have someone who feels unsafe and they go to the security guard and say, wait a minute, there's something going on with one of the employees. They're actually threatening to throw me out on the street. The security guard says, that's not my problem. That's not my job. Basically, if you're not being physically assaulted, then get the hell out of my face. Okay, so let's talk about that just a little bit later in this show. Yeah, and this is way on the other side of the street, on another street completely. It's at 11th Avenue. You know what? I've never actually been to the Andre House, but I've heard of it. So this will be a good opportunity for me to see a firsthand look at what kind of institution this is. But again, if it's basically for men and this woman and her child are sitting outside, it's got to be a little humiliating, I would think. Okay. And I think, yes, the guy sitting next to me over there, he's still behind me, so he's coming up with us. Okay, so Madison and 11th Avenue, we're going to make a right, so that means we're going south. Oh, Andre House is a white brick building. Going south of Madison on 11th Avenue. And that's where the gate to the place that I just was, which was CAS and Human Services Campus. So let's And there are people living right outside of this fence. And see, this is the other thing. I like the fact that in Phoenix, walking this far actually isn't very far. I can walk probably 3 miles a day in this kind of weather before I realize, you know what, I just walked 3 miles. And if I'm directly in the sun, then I can probably take my coat off. But I'm telling you, the difference between shade and direct sunlight, you can definitely feel cold with a breeze. 50 degrees, 40 degrees in the dark shade. Okay, so now, ooh, it looks like there's a whole bunch of tents here. Let's have a look-see. A lot of tents, a lot of people living just under like a canopy. Okay, some of them don't even have a tent to cover themselves completely. It's just a canopy supported by poles. Okay, metal poles. And we've got, okay, she's coming up to the entrance, but if this is just for men, I don't know that I can actually enter. Are we, yeah, because I can't go in here, can I, if it's just for men? Okay, you know what? I'm going to try. It didn't hurt to try, right? Let's see until someone throws me out. Okay. Because, yeah, I guess if her daughter's in there, then it's okay for women to go. Okay, yes, this is definitely a shaded area. So I'm going to sit down. It's relatively quiet here. So I'm just going to sit down here and see if the gentleman following me. Hello. And one of the most important things that I was asking the people who live here when they were struggling with some of the same issues that I had with the employees, the case managers, the building managers, if there were four different problems of ignorance, indifference, impotence, and incompetence, those are all elements that are included in these issues never being resolved. Which one do you think is the worst, the most toxic? And they thought, well, ignorance, indifference, impotence, incompetence. You know what? I think impotence. They just like that word. And I thought, no, you know what ignorance is? These people don't know how to do their job. They just, they literally can't do anything. Even if they did have the authority, even if they did have the volition, if they're stupid, they're going to, well, okay, but then incompetence, you know what, indifference, you know what, I think indifference is, because it means they don't care. They don't even want to have the competency. They don't want to have the information. They don't want to have the power, the authority to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, there's an actual problem here. Let's solve the problem. Right. There we go. Okay, so, oh my gosh, she's so cute. She's got blue eyes. Okay, do you want to?
I don't know what's going on.
Okay, I'm sorry, she didn't tell you. Okay, let me just give you the real quick once over. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. I have a radio show. Okay. It's called The Power of Synergy. Your mother has told me that you were kicked out of you, Mom, and your daughter as well. Do you mind if I put it's your fine. Face? Okay. Okay, so... here we go. And can you see her? I can't see her.
Yes.
Okay, great. So what I'm basically doing today is interviewing the residents who have been either mistreated or actually tortured because they've been thrown out and thrown on the street. Your baby girl needs a place to live. And what your mother was telling us is you not only have nowhere to go, but you have no recourse to complain about what you've just gone through, what you've experienced. So why don't you tell me more specifically what you've gone through?
So we were at the shelter.
Which shelter?
You, Mom.
Okay.
I was told that I needed to get a full-time job, even though I was applying for Social Security, which I can't work more than 10% of 40 hours per week when I'm applying for Social Security. They told me they were going to kick me out if I did not get a full-time job by Monday, this past Monday.
Okay. I came to them with a job opportunity, but it was through a private person that was going to notarize a document saying I've hired her for this, this, this.
Mm-hmm.
They said that was not good enough.
Did they say why not?
It wasn't a real job.
Okay.
So as of Monday, they knocked on my door, said you have 15 minutes to leave. They did extend that to noon, so 3 hours. But then they told me on the way out to call the police if I wanted help. When I called the police for help, they said they would call DCS on me if they caught me on the street.
DCS. What's DCS?
DCS, Cops Protective Service.
DCS. Okay. Okay. So now I've heard of three different charities, homeless support. Okay. One is Hallie, which is UMOM, basically the same company. Then there's HSC, and then there's CAS. Why don't you just go to HSC?
I've not heard of that.
They did not tell you. They did not. Okay. Why didn't you go to CAS? Did you hear about that one?
Because kids are not allowed.
Why not?
Well, I know every time I go to the Welcome Center, they come around me with police officers guarding, take me to the back because it's so dangerous.
It's dangerous. Okay. So basically what I'm talking to people who have been in the charity community support system, because these aren't businesses. These are charities, which basically means they're privately funded. So there's nothing we can do about them. And the laws that would apply to a business don't apply to them. There's an absolution from that.
Right.
So when you have the basically impasse, you hit a wall of what do I do and where do I go? What I'm doing now is I'm offering people life coaching, but I'm also creating a lawsuit against these three institutions, HSC, ANCAS, and Hallie, UMOM. Because what I've experienced is enough to get me kicked out of all three of them. What I did was I filed grievances. And I said, okay, what I've done is complied with your policies and procedures, but then you sent me to someone else who has opposite policies and procedures. I literally got four different jobs and I got places to live, but the two didn't reconcile.
Right.
And so when you do one and you can't quite do the other, where do you go from here?
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. If I said to you that I'm getting a class action lawsuit because the attorney said to me, you know what, you're only one person, you have to get 19 more people, would you be able to say on the record, this is what has happened?
Absolutely.
Would you? Okay.
Don't even have to answer anymore.
Okay. So go ahead and say something to the camera about say your name.
My name is Sarah Parker.
Okay. And so when you don't have anywhere to live, where are you planning on going tonight, Sarah?
As of right now, try to find a safe place off the street somewhere. We have no definite place to go.
Okay. So why don't you just sleep at a bus stop? What are the bus stops like in Phoenix?
Not only is it cold, but it's very scary.
Why?
When I was pregnant with her, 4 months pregnant, I was assaulted on the streets. The police did not do anything about it. They let my attackers stand across the street while they left me there after interviewing me. Mm-hmm. So my attackers become attackers.
Okay. And so when you have a bus stop where people are dealing drugs and they actually are living, because you know what, it is okay. And I've called the police and said, you know what, there are homeless people living here at this bus stop. They always say, well, you know what, we have more important people like murderers to catch. So there's really no place for this stuff. Let me ask you a question, because you seem like a very intelligent woman. When you have four different issues that you're dealing with, there's ignorance, when the people here say, well, I don't know what to do because it's not my job. And then there's indifference, which is, you know what, I really don't care about you. There's impotence, which is, yeah, I know what to do, but that's not my power. I don't have the power to do anything. And then there's incompetence of, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Which do you think is the most harmful to people?
someone who shouldn't know what they're doing, not knowing what they're doing.
Okay.
That's very true.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. She's basically saying ignorance.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But you know what? I realized recently that indifference is even worse.
They're all four are very important.
And but they feed off of each other.
At least if you're with someone who's in that job, they're doing a little something. But with the indifference, that person is not, I'm sorry, give an F about you.
There you go. Okay. And so what I'm letting people know, just as part of the legal process, thank you very much. I'm going to take you off the screen now, is that there are policies, legal policies and procedures that what would be considered disorderly conduct is someone in these institutions saying, you know what, that's not my problem. And quite frankly, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is ARS 13-2906, okay. I believe. Okay. And they could get 6 months of jail time. Most people don't even know that. Disorderly conduct. And I was watching a show called Law and Order. Some people have heard of it.
Yeah.
And it didn't even occur to me. Do you know that depraved indifference is murder too?
I did not know
depraved, that. But then let me ask you this. Okay. If you're indifferent, that's, I don't really care. How can you say, I don't care to the point of depravity? And that doesn't even make sense. If you don't care, how could that be depraved? Depraved means wicked. But if you don't care, how is that wicked? Do you agree with that?
Hold on. I'm kind of like trying to take all this in.
Well, thank you very much because you didn't know I was coming.
Not caring is to me the same as wicked almost.
It's
like because how as a human can you sit there and watch a baby on the street and not
thank you. Yeah. And if they are putting your or her life in danger, mm-hmm. okay, that is depraved. That is by definition depraved. Now, the fact that you're still here, that you haven't actually lost your life, is a good thing. And we love you very much. I'm just going to put her on.
That's fine.
Can we see her?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. So if what they're doing doesn't actually take her life, it's just disorderly conduct. Because disorderly conduct actually qualifies as doing something provocational enough to harm them.
Yeah.
To harm themselves or to have someone else harm them. So there's the harming yourself. That's only disorderly conduct. That's a misdemeanor. You can get 6 months in prison. If she lost her life, that would be depraved indifference. That would get 18 years to life.
Right.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is give you some information. What I'm doing right now is a GoFundMe campaign, which is my way of saying to the community, the people who want to get their situation better, they want to get information because they know that they're not going to change the entire organizational structure. What they're going to get is a lot of go talk to someone else. We'll call you back, file a grievance, and maybe someone will get back to you. And in the meantime, well, you know what? I hope you don't die on the street, but that's not our problem.
Exactly.
Okay. So my GoFundMe campaign is to hold a sign on the street saying, what we need now is recording devices. We need recording devices because when things are going on in these places and they say something, well, how are we going to have proof or evidence of that?
Right.
And the people who actually want to get out of this situation, because I promise you, not everybody who lives here wants to improve their situation. For the people who genuinely do want to make their situation and their life better, do you know how much I charge for my life coaching classes? About $5,000. Okay, so what I've decided to do. Oh, sweetie, did she go? Okay. That's okay. What I've decided to do is give them live coaching classes, and all the people who want to donate to GoFundMe need to do is buy the workbook. My classes are going to be at the Better Business Bureau on Missouri because I filed an actual complaint against these places with the Better Business Bureau. So now I can have 12 hours a month with the office. They're giving me their space. And all I'm doing is letting the people who live here or who live outside of here who want to make their life better know that they can have these free life coaching classes and a workbook. And if they want to participate in a lawsuit, then they can go ahead and work with me directly because I'm looking for 19 people.
Okay.
if you knew that there were people in the community who are now saying, wait a minute, if I saw a sign about GoFundMe to help the homeless, don't give them a handout, okay? Don't give them cash, because you know what most of them are going to do. Instead of giving you $10 in cash, giving $10 to the GoFundMe campaign, it will buy a recording device that you can use against these places, and it will also give you the coaching workbook so that you can come and get free life coaching. What my coaching classes are going to consist of is teaching you how to be confident, how to be proactive, how to, yes, use your voice. And that's, if you want to do, then you can absolutely take my life coaching class. Okay. And what I really want to do is to get whatever time would be best for the people. It's during the day. It has to be between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. And if you can get that, if you can actually get your schedule to, within 1 week, get 12 hours of over there in that building and let other people know, what that would do is empower the people to then, if we can get 20, 30, 40, 50 people saying to the people who work here, you know what, go ahead and tell me the answer to my question. I'm recording you.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've heard they've got $8 million in a fund to spend on getting better employees and to get video recording. But you know what? They don't even have the videos on. They're not recording anything. Okay. So if we can say on the streets between McDowell and Camelback, walking up and down the streets, all the people that are driving by between the hours of 9 and 5, do you know what? If you want to help us out, go to the GoFundMe campaign of homeless shelter victims. They can get all of the information and they can make any size donation. Goal is $6,000. Okay. Because I want to get 60 people, $100 to get some funds for their coaching, to get the recording devices, and some resources to other community services outside of CAS and HSC and Howie, because those are all the really important things. So I'm going to go ahead and put my camera down just for a minute while I hand you some information, and I'm going to put this on the show as well before I go back over to the other campus. Okay, just one moment. I have the bags of, here we go. So this is the GoFundMe campaign, Homeless Shelter Victims, okay? One for you, if you want to go ahead and hold on to this. Okay, so this is basically what you would be holding if you ever wanted to come to the meeting that I'm hiring people. I'm actually paying people $5 per hour to walk up and down the street because they say, well, I can't make any money. Well, you know what? Instead of asking for a handout, actually earn the money and don't take money from the people who are driving by in the cars. Have them donate it online through GoFundMe. They validated it. They verified it, that it's legitimate. And I actually have accreditation now with the Better Business Bureau. That's why they're willing to let me use their office for 12 hours a month for free. So I'm accredited. I'm legal. I'm approved. All of the stuff that's going on in my campaign is absolutely legitimate. And then the other thing is some information about this particular case. Can you go ahead and open this up? Okay. There are some people in the, thank you, in this system for, let me see, HSC Arizona. Okay. One of them is Gina Brockdorf. Okay. And this is some information about how to contact her. Now, basically, Gina Brockdorf is one of the highest ups in the company who basically says, well, I don't know what's going on. No one ever told me. So I'm handing out her information to people. So if you could hold on to those things that I gave you and let people outside of this place know about what I'm doing and what's going on, then we can go ahead and get this thing started.
Take pictures and maybe post them on my Facebook.
That would be great. Yes, taking pictures is a great idea. Okay. Oh, and here's my purse. Okay. I think my entire bag got redone. Here we go. Here's my business card.
Okay, great.
And that's my number on the front. But on the back of the card, it says, The Power of Synergy, my radio show. on the BBS radio, okay? And the Thursday at 1 p.m. is Pacific time because it is live. So when I come back, I'm going to be coming back to the campus. Let people know that I'm going to be doing this. It's very, very powerful to have people on camera and giving their names and saying, okay, this is what has happened to me. That's the only thing that will hold up in court as evidence,
right?
Oh my God. Okay? So I really appreciate your help letting me do this, interview you. Okay, now I'm going to head back over to the HSC campus and talk to other people who have some things to say about their experiences as well. And I really do genuinely wish you the best, but this is the first step in taking action. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. But on my business card is my email address. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you for sharing your story. No problem. Okay, and bye, sweetie. I love her eyelashes. Okay. Okay, so let's put this stuff back in the bag.
I have to turn off the radio.
Okay. Oh, my.
Thank you again.
You're welcome. Okay, I got this one. Okay, this one. And I think the gentleman, here we go. He was following me. Yes. I've got, thank you for your patience. I appreciate you waiting. Okay, but you know what? Do you want to stay here? I don't mind staying here. Or do you want to go back over to the campus? Okay, so then let's get back over into the sun because this is very covered and very dark. Okay.
Chilly out here.
It is chilly, yes, chilly. And again, I can handle chilly if I got some good sunlight. Okay, so you are going to be one of the people who stands out on the street holding the sign saying, yeah, you need to support the homeless by not just giving them a cash donation personally that's going to be gone once they spend it. But yes, a lot of it's alcohol and drugs, yeah. But getting a life coaching class for free that would cost thousands of dollars to someone who is paying full price, who just called my website, my business phone number and said, okay, I want to take a class. Do you think, no, you know what, let's not do it that way. How much do you think that the people who live here genuinely want to get the hell out of here? And how many of them do you think, you know, they complain, but when it comes time to take action, they have an opportunity to take action, they don't really want to take action.
You know, the one thing about the case management workers, they are slow to be doing anything. I'm going to use me as an example. About 2 weeks ago, I filed 7 different living facilities applications. 2 weeks later, one of the women are finally getting around to emailing these places for me. 2 weeks later.
What?
And okay. They are in no hurry to get nobody out of here because it's all about the money.
What do you mean it's all about the money?
They get donations per person here. I don't know how much. I don't know, you know, much about it, but I know I've heard that.
Okay.
I mean, that may be rumor. That may be true. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. But if I said, you know what? I don't know if there are any people here who genuinely want to get out. Maybe this is just a very comfortable place for them to live. Thank you. I think he just offered me a kiss. How many people would actually want help to get out on their own, and how many of them are just so depressed now and they're hopeless because they don't trust that the people live here or the people that work here want to help the people? They genuinely have given up, so their motivation is gone.
Right. Their willingness to do anything is played out because they're not receiving the help that they need to receive.
Okay.
All right. Now, one problem is the housing. There is not a lot of housing going on around here.
Okay.
Everything's been booked up, you know, like for a year and a half, 2 years now.
Okay. So you actually just think that the resources themselves are not there for homeless people.
Well, see, all right.
What?
I draw this aside.
Okay. Make a left here.
I make about $900 a month.
Okay.
Okay. In order for me to get a single bedroom, I have to have at least double that amount
right
to get in the door.
Right.
So someone like me that is receiving SSI, how are they supposed to get out of cash and into our apartment with the budget that they are working with?
Okay.
Now, if Tess finds a place for someone.
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to pay the first 3 months of rent and, okay, and the deposit. But after that.
But that's just give me a fish I eat for a day.
Huh?
But that's just give me a fish I eat for a day.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But so then is it really about the public knowing that the community resources aren't there in the first place? So these charities or charity organizations don't really have anything to offer them, because a lot of the times that I would call from the sorry, I'm thinking in Spanish now, the grievances, a lot of the higher ups genuinely don't know what's going on. And they say, we don't know. We've never heard of this. We don't know. We've never heard of this. If the general public
does not know what's going on here.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, if someone can explain to me how they do not know what's going on here, mm-hmm, and they are part of a caste,
mm-hmm,
you know,
okay.
I don't understand it. How?
I don't either. Okay, so then let me ask you this. I don't know if you were listening to me as I started the show. And
I kind of like sit a little ways and let
it. I know. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, but the question, the sort of open-ended question is, out of the four different, we'll call them, issues of ignorance, indifference, impotence, and incompetence, which one do you think, first of all, is the worst, and then second, needs to be fixed here? All of them need to, but which one first? Ignorance, indifference, impotence, and incompetence. What's your opinion?
All right.
Yeah.
It would probably be ignorance, because they don't care. They, you know,
indifference, not caring.
See, now, if us clients, mm-hmm, weren't here, they wouldn't have a job.
Right, but they're not even qualified to do their job, which to me is incompetence. They're not qualified to do their job. But you're saying that indifference is not caring. That's even worse than not knowing how to do your job, because you genuinely don't give two shakes about it. Okay, I'm trying to keep my mouth clean. My daughter and husband are very adamant about me not swearing. Okay, so I'm behaving myself now. Right, but she finds out. I don't know how she finds out. She's an ENFJ. Okay, but here's the deal. When we're talking about them genuinely not caring about what's going on here, then the people, I think that's what spills over into them giving up and just saying, you know what, this situation will never be fixed. It can never be improved, simply because there's so much crap going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back in. Where's my card? Hold on, I got to get my card to get back into HSC. Here it is. Okay, and I can get in. I was actually kicked out, and that's the other thing. I mean, I've been literally banned from this place, but apparently they don't have any record of it. So let's just go ahead and car pay that DM. That's very good. Okay, go ahead and scan me in, super. Hi, thank you so much. Okay, coming in. Oh, yes, and Delta Security is different from Trident Security, which is different from PES Security. There's actually three different security companies that are, yeah, supposedly. Oh, but you know that HSC is not the same as CAS. So if they have two different companies working with two different security systems and things are going on, well, was that a PES problem or a Delta problem? Or is it Trident or is it PES? Well, you know what? I don't know. That's not my job. It's not my problem. Okay, so that's ignorance and indifference. We'll go where? Okay. let me sit and back over to that other table. Yeah, there's some actual sun, because the other one I was at is very, very dark, shaded. Too much shade. Okay. We can sit there. No, they're all taken. Excuse me. Okay. So I don't mind standing by a tree.
sit or stand?
I can stand. I've been sitting for a while. Okay. Okay, so basically what I can say is when I have someone, when I have basically you got right back to me when I said, look, I'm looking for people that live here who want to, first of all, get some public awareness, right? Raise the public awareness about my GoFundMe campaign. But if you want to actually make some money, I have $500 of my own personal money. No one is giving me this. I am giving 100 hours of sign holding opportunity to the residents who live here. If I said to you anytime between 9 and 5, up to 100 hours, if that takes 5 weeks, fine. If it takes 2 weeks, fine. How many hours would you want to stand there literally on Central Avenue from McDowell to Camelback?
I'm good for at least an hour, 2 hours. Then I may have to sit down because I do have osteoporosis in both my hips. Okay. That's arthritis in both hips severe. But other than that, I'm doing nothing but sitting around here doing nothing. And I'm on something to do, even if it's me. When you would call me and we had to start talking,
yeah.
I was thinking, well, she's trying to help these people. Why don't I try to help these people?
So. There you go. And I really appreciate that. But here's what everyone kept saying to me. I don't trust anybody who lives here. And I just said, you know what? I trust the people who live here a hell of a lot more than I trust the people who work here. Do you think the people who live here are really that bad?
Age-wise, some, yes. The majority of the people, no.
Right, okay.
The younger people, the younger ones that are like 20s or something, they don't really have any direction to go in.
There you go. So do you think that if they had opportunity for life coaching classes, do you think any of them would actually want to have direction?
Yes.
And do you think that if the people who are driving by on Central Avenue going, wow, you know what, instead of giving them $10, I can get them 10 hours, actually 12 hours of coaching that would get them out of that place. Do you think people in the community would want to help the people who are living in homeless shelters?
There are a lot of people that are willing to help this place.
Yeah.
But they have no way of knowing what's going on here, for one.
There you go.
And if them folks can help this place, who do they send any kind of funding to?
Right?
Because I mean, if they send it to this place, it's
where is it going to go? Yeah. What's going to happen to it?
Right here in the little apartment.
There you go, to their own. And that's the other thing is, I just basically said, when something unethical happens here, it doesn't even have to be illegal. It's just unethical. Yeah. What's the recourse for the residents? Well, you know what? We don't know, and we really don't care, and that's not our problem. Okay. I think it's their problem.
Make sure that we don't get involved in any problems. We don't get hurt, stuff like that. Well, when you have two people dying the same week, something's wrong there.
Yeah. What two people died in the same week? What are you talking about?
Two elderly people. I don't know if they had medical problems or not. Okay. But we watched. Okay. So security ran from CAS to LDRC to get the air defibrillator.
Uh-huh.
And when the EMTs drove up, they just like slowly walked.
What?
Yeah. These people ran to that woman that was dying.
Yeah.
The EMTs, they just walked away.
Okay. And do you think that might have something to do with the fact that
they were giving a damn?
They
would hurry up and get to that woman and try to keep her alive.
And how many people genuinely don't care about the homeless because they think they're a lost cause? Too many people.
Right now, with the EMT and the fire department, they're called here just about every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they get on prank calls.
Uh-oh. So
that's why they're getting tired of coming out. They have EMTs have even said that if you have a problem, go outside the gate and call us.
Okay. You know what? I wasn't actually prepared for him to say that. So.
A
like being in another direction. It still is involved with us.
Of course it is. But that's part of the fact that we need to get that public awareness. And we have to get, look, we've got politicians who have the leverage, right, to make those choices. We have the people who are contributing to the funds. There is an $8 million fund for this place to get better employees, better services, better opportunities. And there's literally nothing going on. When we have an understanding of the big picture of all of the different things that are contributing to the effects of the other different things that doesn't seem to be related, they're all interrelated. We have to start somewhere. Okay, so my show's going to wrap up in about 3 minutes. I just want you to know that I appreciate what you're doing with me, and I am going to keep my viewers posted on what is going on here, because I have to go back from Phoenix to Seattle, Phoenix to Seattle, back and forth. But I am going to keep in touch with you, correspondence, electronically, and phone. If there are other people here who want to participate in this campaign, if they actually want to stand on the street with a sign walking up and down the most busy street in all of Phoenix, I've got 100 hours at $5 an hour. The money's just waiting to be claimed, right? And I do trust the people who say they're gonna do this job, because again, I want to tell another story. I lost my cellular phone here when I was staying here, and people said, well, you know what? It's gone. It's just gone. And I said, you know what? I don't believe that. And everyone kept saying, well, you're stupid. You know, the people who live here are trash. And I said, no, you know what? I don't believe that. I think it's going to be turned into lost and found. They were laughing at me. And when I was, you know what? Fine. I'm just going to claim it as lost, the insurance. And one of the employees here, he goes, Gabrielle, come here. You're going to be so excited. Someone turned your phone in. And I'm like, you see, I was right. The people here are not bad. Yes, that's your question. We need video. Yes, bring me the video. We will download it. And absolutely, yes I do. And any more evidence, anybody that lives here, any more evidence that you can get, we need a class action lawsuit. I need 19 people confirming and collaborating and corroborating with me and my story. We need to get this stuff taken care of. Thank you so much for watching my show today. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.